Welcome to the Mindful Living Podcast. I'm your host, Athea Davis. Are you ready to become the person everyone loves, including yourself? Imagine being filled with purpose, joy, and focused energy every single day. I guide kids to gain their inner calm and adults to spark their inner child. Each week, I will give you fun, practical, and relatable, mindfully infused inspiration, insights, and information that you can directly apply in your life, family, and school or business. So, let's get started.
Hey there, and welcome to Mindful Living with me, your host, Athea Davis. You are listening to episode 124, Are Your Kids Ready for College? With my special guests today, Beth and Greg Langston. I am really excited about this episode. One, because I have a 16-year-old now. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that number. And he will be navigating the college process soon. And many of you out there listening may also have kids that are college age, or before you know it, time flies as a parent. So you might just be thinking about college in general. And if you are a teacher, you definitely also want to be listening to this episode because you're preparing your students to do all the things and however they define success for themselves in the world. And if college is one of those things that they're looking at, you want to dive into this episode because there are a lot of great tips that Beth and Greg are giving us today. Now, before I formally introduce Beth and Greg, let me just give you a little thumbnail sketch about our conversation. So Beth and Greg and I, we talk about prepping for college with intention and purpose, the importance of self-discovery for your teens, the biggest challenges students may face in the college admissions process, the qualities and traits college admission officers are looking for, the do's and don'ts of college admission essays, guiding unmotivated students, that one for sure, that was a great part of the conversation, how parents and teachers can best support their students during this process, and so much more. This is just such a golden nugget filled conversation. And you might have guessed that it has something to do with mindful living. Well, let me give you a little intro. I was going to say thumbnail sketch, but I just gave you that. Let me give you a little bit of information about who Beth and Greg Langston are before we dive in to episode 124. So Beth and Greg Langston have empowered students to master their self-discovery, allowing them to successfully activate their life's purpose. They have been doing this work for the last 20 years. Beth, who graduated from Purdue University in education, has guided hundreds of high school students worldwide to navigate the dreaded college applications essay process with tremendous success. Greg also graduated from Purdue's Krannert School of Business. Greg pursued an international business career, which allowed him to mentor hundreds of young professionals while leading businesses over $1 billion and working in 65 countries. By the time their kids were 13, they had been to 12 schools and lived in 5 countries. They are also the creators of the College Flight Plan, which we will be talking about and going into a lot of detail today in this episode. Well, I am so happy you tuned in. I cannot wait for you to dive in. Here on episode 124, Are Your Kids Ready for College? With my special guests today, Beth and Greg Langston. Without further ado, enjoy this episode and our conversation, and I will see you on the flip side of our chat.
Well, I want to welcome you, Beth and Greg, to Mindful Living with Athea Davis. So happy to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks, Althea. We're glad to be here.
Thanks so much. It's our first podcast of the year, so woohoo.
Yes, recording this in the new year, 2022, which is so much easier to say than 2021. For some reason, it just takes more energy to do the other one, the odd number than the even number. But I'm happy for a new year and just a fresh start. And, you know, new journeys begin in the new year, clean slate. And so I want to talk a little bit about your journey into creating what you call the college flight plan. What is it? Why is it important? And why do teachers and parents want to know about this?
Oh, good questions. But in a nutshell,
yeah,
what we do is we help students figure out what their strengths and their weaknesses are. It's important to know your weaknesses as well as your strengths and yep. try to tackle those. And we help them discover what they're passionate about and what they're naturally gifted to do so that they can choose an occupation or a major that allows them to, if they're going to go to college, get through in 4 years instead of the 6 years that everybody's taking now to get through mm-hmm. and have a fulfilling career or go to an occupational school, other profession that they would find more fulfilling than going to college. College isn't for everybody. And a lot of people discover that as they go through our process. So that's what we do in a nutshell. And we feel it's very, very important to have this self-discovery starting early in high school, because in order to go through the college application process, you have to know a lot about yourself to fill out the whole application and the essays and make that clear to the college who you are, what you stand for, and where you're going.
So that you can stand out, because really the interesting thing is after 14 years of studies, you know, preschool and college, I mean, high school, the college admissions officers only spend between 8 and 12 minutes to go through your application.
Wow, that's not a long time to make your point or to highlight why you should be considered, you know, going to a certain school.
Yes. Wow. Especially when you have to write at least one essay. You have to write a 650 word essay. And to get through that essay sometimes takes 8 minutes, you know? So I'm thinking maybe they're not reading the whole essay. So you have to catch them at the beginning with who you are and something interesting about yourself to keep them going and reading.
So I'm so curious, you know, about this self-discovery process and why that's connected to, and I think you're alluding to this already, why that's important to the college admissions process. What are some things that you coach students through to learn about themselves so they are in a better position to sit down and write an authentic essay and highlight who they are and why they should be considered, you know, to be a student at this college?
Another good question. What we do is we have a three-phase process. The first one is discovery, then determination, and then direct your future. Mm-hmm. And we believe that it all starts with your core values, in that if I can paint a mental picture for you and your audience, you have a cutaway of a tree, a large tree, and the root system that goes into the ground are your values. And they hold up the trunk of the tree, which is your purpose. And the purpose holds up the branches of the tree, which are your objectives, your goals, and the accomplishments that you have. And so if you don't have a strong root system, you're not going to be able to progress as effectively in life. And so we teach the kids how to determine their own personal core values. We then go through an assessment that helps them determine what are their strengths and their weaknesses, how they add value to other people, and what their profession should be. And what this is instead of just filling out a questionnaire, they reach out to 8 trusted advisors, people who know them, to give them that feedback so that they get that direct feedback saying, look, you're really good at this, but you suck at doing this.
Yeah.
You need to be aware that this is something that you do that is off-putting to other people.
That you need to work on.
Correct. And these are some things, this is how you add value to your family, to your friends, and to your teachers. And these are some of the professions that we think you should be involved in, or maybe you should study this. And so what happens is the student gets back 200 data points of information from people that genuinely care about the individual, and it gives the individual a real understanding as to what their strengths are. Then we put them through some assessments to help them understand what their their unique instinctive problem-solving skills are, because mm-hmm. you know, kids that are 15, 16, 17, 18 aren't sure what they do well because they're being impacted so much by social media. Mm-hmm. We want to get them to identify what they do uniquely well so mm-hmm. that they can craft what we call their distinct natural ability or their DNA, which takes their information from other people and puts it into a paragraph so that when they're asked to communicate to somebody or volunteer in school or an activity, they know that they're going to be in their wheelhouse. And so they're able to work from their self-discovery and say, you know what, based on the feedback that I have and what I instinctively know, I'm not really a good public speaker, but I'm really good at breaking down problems and helping other people come alongside and solve a situation. So that's what I'm going to focus on. That's how I will actively engage in groups and so forth. And so that's just the beginning of the self-discovery process that we help the students go through.
I love that. And you say, when you say wheelhouse, you're talking about in their element, something that
absolutely.
In their flow. And you're definitely speaking my language about values, because I'm huge on any action, any goal, anything you do, be in alignment with your values. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of suffering that you might be causing yourself unnecessarily. And oftentimes when we think about values, you might get yawns from the age group that we're talking about, or even just, this sounds amazing to me. And I'm just curious, when you're talking to kids in high school, how are you making it approachably relatable to them? What are some things that, you know, I guess teachers listening to this, parents that are listening to this, they could possibly say to get their students and their kids interested, like why this matters to them?
Well, I'll tell you one important thing, if they are looking at going to college at all, or if they're thinking, mom and dad, I don't want to go to college, this is a great process to go through because it clarifies it in their minds. But what I've discovered after 20 years of going through this process, what the college admissions officers are looking for is, number one, academic success, of course. Mm-hmm. And that means GPAs, good GPA, good standardized tests, good quality of curriculum. If you're going to college, the other thing is the extracurricular activities, but they don't want just a smattering.
Yeah.
That's the second most important thing. And the third thing that they're looking for is a self-awareness and kids with a future, a plan for their future. They're looking for students who actually know what their values are,
yeah.
who have a purpose and their strengths and weaknesses, and that they know what their natural inclinations are and can speak about that in their essays and in their college interviews. And that's why some students don't think that that's important now, mm-hmm. but if they wait till senior year while they're writing those essays and filling out those applications and having those interviews, it's a little too late. So,
yeah. Well, what age do you think is a good time to start? I mean, I work with kids. I'm a mindfulness educator. I'm talking about this kind of content to kids even in primary school, right? And their own mm-hmm. on their own developmental level. So I think you can start at any time, but I'm curious, you know, what's the target age in high school that kids really need to start looking at and diving into this work?
Well, unfortunately, it is freshman and sophomore year, but I know freshman year, they're so overwhelmed with just being freshmen.
Yeah.
You know, just like when they get to college, they're going to be overwhelmed with just being freshmen. And our first piece of advice is, okay, you got to start with keeping those grades up semester one, freshman year, in high school and in college, because you don't want them to spend the next 3 years trying to get that GPA back up to where you want it. Mm-hmm. So, but you're right about the self-awareness. Starting with little guys, oh, the littles, there are so many books out there. We don't deal with the littles, but we have grandchildren, so yeah. we know about those littles. And just telling them when they come home from school, you know, how did you use your strength today? How did you show your kindness? You know, instead mm-hmm. of how was school?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Who did you sit by at lunch? Well, you know.
Yeah.
if I can go back to one of your sure. questions earlier, you said, how do kids react when when they're advised about this? Their first reaction is, mom and dad, you just put me in another program. look at my hair. It's on fire. I already have too many things to do. The last thing I want is another program, or, right. you know, you're trying to mold me into something. We understand that. And so what we do is we come alongside the student and we say, listen, this is all about you. It's not about mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Be thankful that they're willing to invest in you. But this is a self-discovery process that will give you a roadmap in 3-minute increments. It's not 1-hour lectures. It's in 3-minute increments that you're going to go through, and you're going to find out what you really are good at. And you're going to get confidence in doing that. And you're going to have an understanding as to what you really want to do with the rest of your life. Because right now, do you have a good understanding? And they go, no. And, you know, there's a data point that 87% of people 16 to 29, 87% say they have no purpose or meaning.
Wow. That's staggering.
That's terrible.
Isn't that awful?
And how that manifests itself is, and this is what we share with the kids, is that 60% of the kids that go into college, it takes them 6 years to graduate.
Wow.
Not four, at least six. And it's because they're changing majors at least 3 times. So we say, listen, dude, or dudette, I don't know. You need to, if you're going to go to college and that's the right thing for you, focus on these things to help you find out what's right for you. We're going to identify what are your accomplishments, not your mom's, not your dad's, but your accomplishments. And we're going to build off of that, kind of like peeling off an onion. So that's how we go about the process to engage the students. So what we see is at first they're like, yeah. Then the second session and the third session, they get into the video. It's all mobile optimized. It's all on their cell phones, tablets, whatever the case may be. And they really get engaged because they say, oh, wow, this really is about me. Cool.
That's awesome. I love it. I had a conversation with a parent, one of my son's friends' moms. And then I said, you guys, I'm sure you do a personality test. And then I had my son do a personality test for the first time this year. It seemed appropriate to do. And then, so I was talking to his friend's mom and I said, you guys really need like the Myers-Briggs. There's a free version online. And I said, you guys should take the personality test. Now everybody knows their type and we've been talking about it. And it's fun to listen to, my son be pretty insightful about the qualities that his friends are really good at. Like, he's very aware of what their strong points are, perhaps has something to do with, you know, being around me for, you know, most of his life. But I think everybody enjoyed it, you know, learning. I think it's fun. It's fun learning who you are and seeing and reading like, oh, wow, this does resonate with me. I am kind of like that. That's interesting. I never, you know, realized why perhaps I have this connection with people on a heart-to-heart level. That's interesting. I wonder what that means for myself. So it's fun to have and engage in those conversations. And it sounds to me like a really great way to approach this is like you were saying, Greg, is that this is about you. This is not, you know, what your parents want, or all of a sudden you're trying to figure out what does it mean to be successful. It's just who you are and how you can live your best and vibrant self right now. So you know what your strengths, Beth, as you were saying earlier, and your weaknesses are. Those are really important to navigate multiple decisions, even sometimes the tiniest things, like what friends are going to consume my time and which ones aren't, because this is how I know I am. And if I know that information, I can optimize my time, my life, my energy, which is super important because at this age, there's so much more responsibility packing on in this age group, right? They're learning how to drive, or they're driving plus the school and everything else. There's a lot to, see my son going through it. You know, he's almost 16. He doesn't have his license yet, but we've had many conversations about balance and what that means, and having time for yourself and time with friends, sports, school. And you're going to have a lot of failure during this time figuring that out, but also knowing who you are as you come to each of these activities and how to invest your time while you're doing it.
That's so true. And the fact that your son is identifying, you know, this person may not be contributing to what I really want to do, but I value the relationship and I don't want to offend him or her. but I really don't want to spend that much time. You know, we're personally mentoring one young student who's 16 and just had this discussion 48 hours ago where he said, you know, I really want to do well in school now that I'm thinking about this, and I really want to be going to the medical profession. Mm-hmm. And I realize that I'm spending a lot of time with some people that really aren't really helping me. They're mm-hmm. kind of dragging me down. But since I value the relationship, I don't want to say no to them. But maybe I should do that. And one of the things that self-discovery does is it allows you to say, do I really need to be in three sports? Vis-a-vis, you know, volunteering for something, doing an internship, or focusing on my grades? Do I really have to have this breadth of friends that I will never see again in the rest of, although it doesn't seem like it, I'll never see them, most of them, 99% of them, in the rest of my life?
Do I really need to take 2.5 hours to work out when really most of it is socializing?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and then you have a conversation, and they say, well, my parents say that I shouldn't work out so much. And the young man says, well, they don't want me to work out. And that's not the point. The point is they want you to work out, but you know what? 3 hours a day, 6 days a week is probably a little, you know, are you really working out to best point? How about if you work out for an hour and you spend 15 minutes hanging out in terms of purposeful, in your word, mindful engagement with your friends, mm-hmm. is going to be much more productive than spending 3 hours that you're burning time. And then you go home and have to study and get grades, and those suffer because you fall asleep. So we're finding that discovery, and you're walking through a student, and they're walking through, more importantly, what's really working and what's not working. And unfortunately, we have very good high school counselors. They're mm-hmm. very good, but there are only 424. There are 424 students for every counselor.
And they recommend
on average,
that's a lot.
And on average, in the United States. And in California, where we are, it's 900 students per college advisor.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's not possible to have a relation, a quality relationship.
Right.
And to be and do all, you know, some of these things that you're talking about. You know, and I'm curious, as students are navigating this very messy time in their development, but very exciting time, because they're learning a lot about who they are and what they want to do and be out in the world, what are some of the challenges that students are facing as they go through the admissions process?
Oh, gosh. Well,
starting too late.
Too late. That would be late. Like you were saying, senior year, who am I, and figuring that out. That's too late. Freshman year, but by sophomore year, you really need to be thinking about
definitely. And recording it, something I ran into recently, and I have in the past too, is any activity that you have the summer before freshman year, they're going to be asking you about those on your application. Mm-hmm. And you can't think that your college counselor, your high school counselor, will have that information for you. They don't have it. You mm-hmm. have to keep track of all of your activities somewhere in your phone. Take notes, because you'll forget, you'll forget, oh, when was I on the honor roll? If you don't write it down, because they're going to want to know all these details later on. And that's one thing. Keeping the details early is a challenge. Another challenge they have is the fear, I think, of not knowing what the process is going to be like, not knowing what they're going to want to do. And that stifles so many of our students. And what we find is that as they go through this self-discovery, they are creating a little bit more independence for themselves, and they are transformed because it becomes clear to them what they're going to do in their future now, what that college process is going to look like, or that not college process. I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to take a gap year and I'm going to volunteer. But as they know through any discovery process what's going to be expected of them, it eases their fear, and they're much more clear about what they're going to do. They have this confidence because they understand themselves, and they can articulate who they are and express that clearly in writing and in mm-hmm. speaking, so in their essays and their interviews. And they also will feel they have a little bit more control over their lives, which gives them, what takes that fear away. It's like, okay, I know what I'm going to do with my future now. Now here are my goals. Here's how I have to get there. And we help give them the tools to get there and implement what they want to do.
I know you guys were saying, and Greg, you mentioned this earlier, a lot of your curriculum is digital based online.
Yes.
How long is the program? Is it a certain amount of time? Is it just X amount of modules that they would go through? What does it look like?
The process takes 12 hours to go through. Because
but not at one sitting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not at one sitting. And this is the beauty of, I was a C-suite executive and you know, doing the presentations in front of boards and so on and so forth. And Beth, who's an educator, is saying, Greg, that's all cool, but a high school student has the attention span of a tsetse fly. And so they're going to want to get this in very small increments. And so
it's TikTok version.
It's a 12-hour process, but it's broken down into 2.5-minute segments. And so,
You
know, everybody can spend 2.5 minutes figuring out what they do and what the beauty of it's kind of like a layering process where we start with the values, as we discussed earlier, and then you build upon that as you gain confidence. And it's really important that you go through it in a very specific way. And just like I went from having 5 employees to 100 to 1,000 to 9,000, they were teaching me and educating me and investing in me, sharing insights about myself that I could scale and do those things and inspire larger and larger groups of people by understanding myself better.
Can I interrupt? That's why we got started in this, because as he was learning all this executive training, he's like, why aren't we teaching this to our high schoolers, which we had high schoolers at that time. And that's how we got started doing that, developing these skills for our own kids. They were our guinea pigs.
We didn't kill them.
I was so curious, because I wanted to know what sparked your journey. And Greg, it sounds like you were learning some methodologies that seemed to be really important in the high schoolers that you had at the time that you were creating this.
Correct. And so what we did is we said, okay, values, core values in business are important. And when I was creating my core values for my companies, I would also develop my personal core values, because the importance of that, as you described earlier, is it provides you with your own true north in terms of what you will follow, how you will make decisions, what you won't do. And it's particularly important for parents to understand that a kid, a son or daughter is going to go, they're not going to be with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you know that they're going to be making decisions and taking positions based upon the values that they clearly understand, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable when your kids go off to school or they go into a profession. And so that's exactly correct. We took the learnings that we had, plus the scar tissue of being involved parents, and invested that into the program.
And as we, in the end of our process, we meet with the parents and the student presents what they've learned about themselves and what their plans are. And as we do this, the parents always say, oh my gosh, do you do this for parents? Why isn't somebody teaching me all of this? So it's every level that needs this, but we wanted to tackle the high schoolers because they can use that right now to benefit their future so much.
And this is particularly important. Sorry, you can see we're kind of passionate about this.
Yeah, I love it. I love the conversation.
The interesting thing is, and we find this particularly in different cultures around the world, and being global, we have certain cultures where the patriarch or the matriarch says, you know, I'm a doctor, your dad's a doctor, you know, your uncle's a doctor, you're going to be a doctor. And Emma would not be a doctor as a result of going through the self-discovery. But Emma could be a fantastic architect, but without going through a process like this, they have no leverage versus their parents, and they're going to be miserable at being a doctor, and they might not succeed at being a doctor. And so, as Beth mentioned, the aspect of presenting to their parents, and by the way, we also assign an accountability partner. We don't. The student assigns an accountability partner to help them go through the program, because most people don't finish any books. Most people don't finish any courses, and that's because they're self-guided. If you share with other people that you're going to do something, you're going to run a mile or lose 5 pounds, and you tell your ecosystem you're going to do this, the probability is 65%. If you have an accountability partner, it goes to 95%. And so what happens is, as Beth mentioned, at the end of the process, instead of the parent saying, okay, I put you through this program, and how was it? It's like, how was school? And they go, you know, great, fine. They have to present all their findings to their parents in a nutshell. And for parents listening right now, what would it be like if you have your 16 or 17 year old come to you and say, Mom and Dad, these are my values and this is why they're important. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. These are my goals when I'm 65 in the area of health, wealth, wisdom, and relationship. This is my distinct natural ability, what I do uniquely well. This is my purpose statement on how I'm going to add value to the planet beyond myself. Mm-hmm. These are the majors that I want to study, my top three majors. This is my passion, and this is my elevator speech that I will share when somebody asks me what makes me unique. And it's kind of a drop the mic moment for the kid.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean,
and the parents look at us like, how did you do that?
Yeah. I love that. You know, values, again, just they create such a fulfilling life. If we don't have them, we're just scattered all over the place. But with knowing what our values are, when our kids know what their values are, they know what to say yes to and what to say no to. And that is so, so important. And you're right, Beth. I think this is something every age should know, but I'm so grateful that you guys have picked the high school age group to do this work with, because it's definitely needed. It seems like there's a lot of work and programs for our primary and middle school kids, but when you get to high school, there's just not as much. So when I hear like, and especially when you were sent, we were looking at the counselor to student ratio, you're not going to get no time, it sounds like, if any time, maybe a few seconds. So it's great that you have this. And it sounds like too, as parents and teachers are prepping their kids for, you know, moving beyond the nest, are you going to college? Are you not? Where are you headed? Some of the qualities sound like this, one of them being self-awareness, that they need to be self-aware and that going through this process will help them discover what these inner qualities are. But what would you say, particularly college admissions officers are looking for the, in terms of qualities for their the applicants that are coming through? They want their student population to be A, B, and C. Who are these people that they're looking to pull into their network within
right.
the college?
Great question. And a lot of students assume that colleges are looking for well-rounded students, when really colleges are looking for a well-rounded student body. So they want to know, they want to take a student and fit it in to wherever that area of well-roundedness they're looking for, that they're looking to fill. And so a student that knows themselves well can be clear in who they are, and the college will say, okay, you fit perfectly in this area that we're looking for. They're filling areas. They don't want someone who has had, like in the community service, just a smattering of surfacey commitment to community service or leadership areas. They want in-depth projects from these kids, which has to be started again, freshman and sophomore year. Find out what you're passionate about. Go volunteer at these different places. Get internships in an area where you think you are interested in having a profession. Our son is a great example. His whole life, he thought he wanted to be in the medical field. Mm-hmm. And so when he got to college, he got to high school, he's like, I think I want to be a surgeon. And he had the opportunity to go to work with surgeons for a couple of weeks each, cardiovascular and neurosurgeons. And he went in, he actually was in the operating room, stitched up one person. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm not on your table. And after his summer with these doctors, he said, that is not at all what I want to do. And the good thing he found that out, because we didn't waste the money sending him all the way
through
medical school and the time
of your life.
And Yes, and the investment. And he went into the financial world and he's doing great and he loves it. So getting these internships early is key. And and they love an entrepreneurial spirit too. If kids can start working on things just to give back to their community, it doesn't have to be anything huge. During COVID, one of our students raised food, ran a food drive in his neighborhood for kids who couldn't get to school and they depended on the school to get their meals, you know, so everybody wanted to give to these kids. So they raised it, they collected the food and they took it to the foundation that would distribute it to these children. And that can go, they did it. And then they did it at Thanksgiving too. And they're probably going to do it this year if COVID goes again, you know, because it's never ending, but just creating little things like that. That speaks for, gosh, they're thinking about how they can give back, and universities love that. But having the healthy self-awareness is key to them because it promotes emotional wellness and self-esteem in students, and they know this. It provides students insight into who they are and why they react the way they do, and it gives them a direction for self-improvement. Self-awareness for students is crucial for their success, and colleges know that, and they're looking for students who are successful. So embarking on that is key.
I love that. And it sounds like going through your program will definitely help increase their self. I mean, that's what it's about, increasing their self-awareness about who they are and what they have to offer the world. What do we do about kids that just are unmotivated? How do we connect to them to help them along their life's journey? What are some tips that you have to teachers and parents?
Well, everybody in their heart of hearts, everybody likes to hear their name and they like to hear about themselves.
Yep.
Although initially they don't, but if you make it all about them and instead of dictating to the student, but you come alongside the student and say, now let's talk about, you're 16. Okay. So cool. I'm not going to talk about what your dad did, your mom did. What are some accomplishments that you've been really proud of that you've had so far in your life? And that's the first, level of the onion, because everybody's proud of something and, or they may have had something that impacted them very negatively. Then you can build on that. So you say, you know, that really hurt, that left a mark. You don't want to do that again. How would you change your life going forward? How are you going to do life differently so you don't have that hardship or you don't have that pain? Mm-hmm. And what you do is you genuinely make it about them. And as the students begin to see and get feedback that, you know, this is what I do really well. And people recognize me for being kind. They recognize me for being clear in my communication. They recognize me for being able to help them in these areas. That gives them an affirmation that they typically don't get. In school, what do we historically see? You see a piece of paper with red circles that imply this is what you did wrong. We conversely identify what you do well while identifying and respecting what you don't do well. And one of the things that's universal, as a student goes through and identifies, these are my lifetime goals, we say, okay, now that you're in this mode of saying, you know, life is great and unicorns and butterflies and everything's positive, what are some things that you're doing today that are negatively impacting your ability to make that real? And universally, two things they say. One, too much social media. Not all social media is bad, but too much social media is bad, and I don't get enough sleep.
Which go hand in hand. I'm scrolling through at night as I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. You know?
And so what we find is that the student is gaining this self-awareness, and they're saying, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's not that I can't work out for three. It's not that I can't work out. It's that I shouldn't work out for 3 hours. How about if I work out for 1 hour, my parents will be, you know, they'll be happy. Because you've just relieved 2 hours or maybe 1 hour and 45 minutes because you spent the 15 minutes, you know, socializing. You now have 1.5 hours or 1.75 hours to be able to study and get better grades because, oh, by the way, in your self-discovery, you figured out that, you know, you want to be an engineer. Well, to be an engineer and to go to the kind of school you want to go to and have your influence, you have to study. It doesn't happen by accident. And so what it does is they begin to connect the dots. Where they're saying, yeah, this is important to me. And conversely, this is not important to me. I'm not going to be a three sport athlete. I'm not going to be a professional in three sports because only 1% of high school students play at the Division I collegiate level. And only 1% of those play at the professional level. So let's be real. we understand your friends, but focus on one thing, not on all three. And so this is what we're finding.
And also what's very important is to students to get them motivated. Here are the three things they need. They want to know what they do well. They want to know where they belong, and they want to know how they can make a difference. And knowing those three things gives them this purpose in life that sort of sets them down that road to success.
Is that what they should be writing about on their college admissions essays? Those three things, Beth, that you just mentioned, is that, and is that how they can promote themselves? It sounds like those two may, or those three things that you were saying are.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So after they go through our process, then we get to the college essay writing part, which we start the end of junior year, because we always know you have to do the 650 word, and then colleges have supplemental essays that they also require you to write. Mm-hmm. Like the University of California system, you have to write 4 350 word essays, and you get to pick. But the whole purpose of the essay is to get to know more about you. It's not an English class essay, which mistakenly, people are getting better about it now, but in the past, and I've been doing this for 20 years, it would be like this creative essay, nothing about the student, but it's a great essay.
With words 90 letters long, right?
Yes, oh my gosh. And so I tried, they just want to know who you are, what makes you tick, what are you going to do, how are you going to get to campus and hit the ground running and make a positive influence on our campus and graduate with honors and go out and be successful in the world so you reflect well on our university. And all that can be conveyed in your essays that you write. But most students write about 10 essays. That's the average, 10 different essays. So that's why we can't wait till senior year. But I get excited about that. We're still doing essays right now. We're not finished with them. But
it sounds like
it's a lot.
You know, they're creating their life vision, their own personal mission statement. Mm-hmm. And when they have that, it sounds to me, and going through your process, that they'll be well equipped to just sit down and be able to write it out, because they're familiar, they've gone through, they've done the critical thinking, they've had those experiences versus, I have to just sit down and write this because I've waited to the last minute. And I've spent the last 4 years of high school just doing nothing. And I don't know. And that's,
and turn to their friend and say, where are you going to go to school? Where are you going to study?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go there.
You know, we have one person that we're working with, who mentioned that, who we're working with because he is so enamored with our process. He's very high up in the local educational environment. Mm-hmm. His son changed majors 7 times.
Wow.
And he said he needed this because a student needs to figure out what they want to do. Now, having said that, one thing that we find, and particularly with certain kids that don't want to be wrong at anything, they have a real trouble making a decision on any one thing. And saying, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm going to focus on, because they don't want to be wrong. And we say, listen, you're setting up these life goals, 5 for health, wealth, wisdom, and relationship. You can review these every year. It's not cast in stone, but you're providing a direction that you're going to go in instead of just not going anywhere.
Having a map. A map is important. Yeah.
Exactly. And what I say is, and the parents like this too, is I say, you're going to review this every December with your parents and, you know, calibrate over the next 5 years. And for the next 5 years, you're going to pay for dinner. I mean, they're going to pay for dinner. Your parents are going to pay for dinner. On the 6th year going forward, you're going to pay for dinner during that review session. And what that does is it develops a sense of ownership and kind of a flight plan, as we say, to leave the nest and go off and have a meaningful career. Because parents don't want, most of them don't want them to, you know, fly off, go to college or go into a career and then fly back into the basement.
Yeah.
Parents don't want that.
Nope.
And nor should they.
Nope. You know, parenting all about since the day where they were born. I was just talking about this in a video I posted on social media, is that we're preparing our kids to be successful, independent adults living the life that, you know, helps them thrive and be fulfilled. And in order to do that, values are going to drive that. Otherwise, we're just you know, all over the place, not knowing when to say yes, when to say no, not knowing how to manage our time. So definitely important to have that map and have them go out, like you say, flight, take off. Love right. you. We want you out adding your spark out into the world, because the world needs your spark in action and they need it at every age. So, well, I know I want to transition to a little bit here on rapid fire. We're winding down our time together. I love all the things that we've been talking about. Love the work that you're doing. And I want you to talk about where people can connect to your program and online social media. But first, I want to do a little bit of rapid fire. In my rapid fire, I just ask big life questions. Whatever word or phrase comes to mind, you both can answer, since I have you both here on the show. And then we'll just take it from there. No pressure, just whatever comes to mind. A lot of fun to just imagine. I have my tea right here. If you don't have yours, no worries. It's just
have our water.
You have your water, coffee, tea, and we're just philosophizing about life. And I'm going to ask just a few questions here. All right. Rapid fire question number one, what do you believe?
I believe that we need to show grace to each other and mainly to ourselves first. Because if you show grace to yourself, you'll be able to show grace to others.
I believe that it's a tremendous responsibility as a parent to educate, to inspire, and to develop a legacy that you can be proud of. All of us are going to live a legacy. I want to live a legacy that I'm proud of. And that's what we invest into our kids. And by extension, through this program, kids around the world.
Awesome. What are you grateful for?
My family. Definitely.
I pointed, for those of you that can't see, I pointed at Beth.
Oh, and they both pointed at each other. It was cute. What sustains you?
Oh, my faith in God.
Likewise.
You are on Mindful Living with Athea Davis. So I ask all my guests, what does mindful living mean to each of you, Greg and Beth?
Gosh, it's just, again, knowing myself well so that I can be helpful to others, using my gifts to be helpful to others.
I think, again, our responsibility of having the scar tissue of life that we have had, we've seen things go really well and we've had hardship, and be able to translate that and put that into something that can be used by young people so that they can avoid having the bruise and the scar tissue that we've had, whether it's our own children, our grandchildren, our friends, and kids around the world. That is what makes, that's what sustains me, what motivates me, what makes me very passionate.
Nice. Well, thank you. And of course, I want people to connect with you online, social media. Please share your website, about your program, all the social media handles. If you're on social media, just tell us all about it.
Okay, they can go to collegeflightplan.com. Mm-hmm. And also, if they want to get in contact with us directly, Beth at collegeflightplan.com or Greg at collegeflightplan.com.
And our number is on our website too. If you want to give us a call, we're glad to chat.
Okay, nice. It's been such a pleasure, Beth and Greg, to have you on the show today. Really appreciate your insights and your wisdom, the work that you're doing for our high school age students. This is such important work. So thank you. And I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks, Asiya.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us be on your show. We really appreciate you.
Hey there, and welcome to the flip side of my conversation with Beth and Greg Langston, the creators of the College Flight Plan. I hope you gained a ton of value out of our conversation. I know you did if you have teens navigating the college admissions process, or you are headed there in a few years, or you're just really thinking ahead of the game here. These are some tips and tools and strategies you definitely want to put in your parenting toolkit, in your teacher toolkit, because they offered a lot of great information. You can connect with Greg and Beth. I will make sure to link their contact information in the show notes. Please give them a follow. Check out their program, the College Flight Plan. I love how they chunked it into very digestible pieces. As you know, the attention spans of our kiddos and really of us, right, with all the tech going on in the world today. But they chunked it in a way that we, you know, your teens can view in bite-sized videos. So that's super awesome. Love that they designed it in that way. Lots of great information. So definitely connect with them and their program. And if you are not yet following me on social media, please do that. I would love to connect. I share all the mindful living love out there, talk about a variety of things, and share some valuable content on Instagram and Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok. You can find me at Athea Davis, A-T-H-E-A-D-A-V-I-S, on all the platforms. On TikTok, I'm at Athea Davis at Athea _ Davis. Now, make sure if you enjoyed this episode that you use the hashtag Mindful Living Podcast with one L, and take a screenshot of this episode and share it on your favorite social media platform. Share it in your stories, share it wherever you can. That would be greatly appreciated. And if you haven't done so yet, make sure you subscribe to the show. That way you know when a new episode is going live. You can also share with a friend, family member, colleague that will benefit from today's episode, particularly if they have kids entering college very soon or will be navigating that terrain in the very near future. As always, it's been amazing to be here with you today. And remember to tune into and spread the awesome sauce here, there, and everywhere. I will see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Mindful Living Podcast with me, your host, Athea Davis. Think of me as your extra sparkly, good vibes, and no-nonsense guide, reminding you to take intentional action and choose to be the person today you want to become tomorrow. The world needs your sparkle, your joy, your gifts in action. Speaking of, I have a free gift for all my podcast listeners. Go now and subscribe to my email list and get your free health and wellness guide, Awesome Sauce Insights, at soulcentsyoga.com. And take a moment to rate and review my podcast on iTunes or wherever you may find yourself listening to Mindful Living with Athea Davis. I truly appreciate your time and feedback so I can continue to deliver valuable content to each of you. Until next time, have an awesome sauce day, friends.